This is Audible.
Audible Originals presents There's Something About Mary, written by Cody Hall, performed by C.J. Bloom and Lee Samuels.
Acknowledgements. I wanted to thank Corinne's Craft Shop and her adorable Peters for being the inspiration for Mary's crafty side hustle. To my readers, especially my ARC team, my amazing lattes, and the thousands of book talkers who brighten my days, I freaking adore you. Writing my beloved books wouldn't be possible without my wonderful husband and children, who share love and laughter with me daily. Thank you for letting me work in peace, mostly. For my amazing agent, Sarah, who has made my publishing journey a whirlwind of possibilities. You have helped me achieve so many of my dreams, and I appreciate you. To my editor, Allison, and the excellent crew at Audible, thank you for helping me bring Mistletoe and all its residents to life. For Tina, my sounding board and biggest cheerleader, I love you. Special thanks to my dear friend, Erica, who helped me bring Mary's story to life by asking all the right questions. To my extended family, for being proud of me and sharing my books. To my dear friend, Tammy, for telling perfect strangers I write books with all the words but one. And to all of the authors who have answered my never-ending questions. We are a family, and I am so lucky to be a part of it. Chapter 1. It cannot be November 1st. Mary curled up on her U-shaped couch, with a Sherpa blanket covering her lower half, her fingers working the knitting needles in her hands absently as she stared out the window. Tiny flurries swirled through the air like glittering wisps on the wind, obscuring the trees beyond. After a string of lackluster relationships that had taken her from Washington to Colorado, she'd decided the outside world wasn't quite as green as the rows of Douglas and noble fir trees across her family's Christmas tree farm, and come home a year ago to Mistletoe, Idaho. A year of swearing off men and enjoying the peace of being single. Someone pounded on her front door, and she jumped a foot in the air, her knitting needles clacking together. What the hell? It's Nick. You decent? Mary set her knitting and blanket aside, climbing to her feet. Yeah. Come in. The door opened, and her brother came through the door, his navy beanie covered in dots of melting snow. Don't sound so cranky. He held a tray of coffee cups in one hand and a white pastry bag in the other. I come bearing goods. Awesome. I'll forgive you for practically breaking down my door. I haven't mustered up the strength to make any coffee yet. Mary took the bag from him and set it on her kitchen counter, peeking inside. Chocolate chip scones. Yum. Mom and Dad bought everyone breakfast since it's all hands on decorating duty. Mary glanced out the window at the falling snow. Really? In this? Don't be a wimp. It's barely coming down. But it's cozy in here. I've got my blanket, my pellet stove, and now delicious hot coffee. She reached for one of the cups, and Nick held it away from her. This is for working people only. You want to stay inside? You can make your own coffee. Mary gave him the stink eye. Fine. I'll get changed.
Hustle up. Everyone is waiting on us.
Mary walked through the kitchen of her tiny house to the drawers in the wall under the loft where her bed was. Her family and friends had helped her build the 400-square-foot home on the back of her parents' property in late spring, just across the gravel drive from the foreman's cottage. She pulled out a thermal shirt, jeans, and her wire-free bra and popped into her bathroom. Mary glanced at her small clawfoot bathtub longingly. But that would have to wait until tonight, after decorating was done. Usually, it was just the main house and yard, and then a string of lights around the flocking tent where people paid for their trees. but it was the 75th anniversary of the Winters Christmas Tree Farm's grand opening, and her parents were determined to make it magical. She finished changing and brushed her teeth, tossing her long blonde hair up into a haphazard bun. Her brother was drinking his coffee and watching out the window when she came out of the bathroom. "Is the snow getting worse?" she asked, grabbing her thick winter headband off her jacket hook and sliding it into place.
"Nah, still the same, but we're supposed to get a few inches. That's why everyone wanted to get an early start."
"Is Noelle at work?"
"No, she's up at the house. I told her she didn't have to come out here on her day off, but she insisted."
"That's because she's family." Mary shrugged into her jacket with a smirk. "The two of you just need to make it official." Nick leveled her with a hard stare.
"Don't say anything like that around her. We haven't even been together a year, and I don't want her feeling pressured."
"Relax. I'm not going to. I know her almost as well as you do." It wasn't exactly true. Nick and Noelle had been inseparable since infancy, and when Noelle's parents died, she moved in with the Winters. Noelle loved the rest of them, but no one had ever cracked through her barriers the way Nick could. Mary always suspected them to date, and when they'd crossed the line to more than friends last Christmas, she couldn't have been more thrilled. Just because Mary didn't talk about the two of them getting married didn't mean Mary wasn't hoping for it. Nick held out the second coffee to her, and once she'd shrugged into her black down jacket, she took it.
"I know. I just can't help reminding everyone. Don't want anyone scaring off my hippogriff."
Mary quirked her right eyebrow, setting her coffee cup on the counter.
"You compare the love of your life to a large mythical creature that is both scary and freaky looking? Hippogriffs are beautiful, majestic animals."
Mary sat down on the couch to put her socks and boots on, snickering.
"Good God, how did you ever woo a woman?" "Noelle thinks I'm romantic."
"Or she pretends you are. She probably doesn't want to hurt your nerd feelings."
"Grab your breakfast and come on," Nick grumbled.
He opened the front door and stepped outside, leaving it wide for her to follow. Freezing wind whipped inside, bringing swirls of glittering flakes with it.
"Hey, were you born in a barn?"
He didn't respond, and she muttered several colorful names as she tied her boots. Before she stepped outside, Mary grabbed her coffee cup and the pastry bag. She told her Alexa goodbye, and all the lights in the house shut off. Mary closed the door behind her, not the least bit surprised Nick had headed up to the main house without her. Siblings were a blessing and a curse, depending on the day. She walked along the textured walkway her father helped her create, which was still visible beneath a thin sheen of snow. Her grassy yard had died once the weather turned, as had all of the flowers in the white raised beds closest to the house. The only green in her yard was her blue spruce bush she'd bought on sale at the end of the summer. But in the spring, her yard would be bursting with color, including several different irises. The 4-foot vinyl fence with a latched gate was the finishing touch to make it feel like a real home. Mary passed through the gate and traveled across the gravel road behind her parents' house, straight toward the foreman's cottage. The dark brown log cabin exterior and green roof blending in with the woods behind it. She nibbled on the scone as she hummed a few bars from Let It Snow, watching the snowfall all around her as she passed by the shiny Jeep in the driveway. Up until a few months ago, Hank Cuthbert had lived there with his two chocolate labs, but when he'd decided to retire and move further north, her dad had put feelers out looking for a new foreman. She'd honestly thought he'd train her to fill the position. Instead, he'd told Mary if she really wanted to take over the farm one day, she'd want a great foreman by her side. Mary argued at first, because she'd not only returned home to heal, but also for her father to teach her all the ins and outs. If something ever happened to her dad, she'd know how to cut and haul a tree, but none of the day-to-day stuff. He'd waved off her argument with some ridiculous statement about living forever, and after seeing her mother's warning look, had shut her mouth. Several weeks later, her dad had hired Clark Griffin via Zoom. Clark was 27, her brother Nick's age, and he was a hometown boy who'd moved away for college and hadn't been back since. She remembered him as a teen working weekends on the farm, but they hadn't run in the same circles. He'd been quiet and skinny with long hair, and when he wasn't working, his face was always buried in a book. Mary had done well in school, but she'd preferred being around people at dances, parties, and camping than being alone. Although, after one day of working with him, she'd thought there might be something more to the broody Clark. He'd seemed to loosen up, and when he laughed, his whole face transformed. She'd harbored a small crush on him for a few weeks after, but he'd avoided her like Mary had a disease he didn't want to catch. She'd moved on, and he'd left town a few months later. When her father hired Clark to be the new foreman, Mary had tried to bite back her frustration. He'd arrived at the farm with a 7-year-old son, and she'd tried to engage Clark in conversation. But his personality was somehow worse than when he was 17. Awkward on his good days and taciturn the rest of the time. Or it could be her projecting. Her parents adored him and his son, Jace, and didn't seem to have an issue getting along with Clark. Just her. She cut to the left of the cottage, up the hill to her parents, finishing off the rest of the crumbly, sweet scone. The pumpkin latte chased down the remainder of it, warming her belly, while her face had gone numb under the blasts of chilling air. She'd planned her day around decorating at 10 this morning, but getting the jump on it 3 hours earlier should open her day up for a relaxing afternoon. As long as this didn't take too long. When she rounded into the front yard, she found her family and the farm employees bustling about. Carrying lights and boxes of blow-up decorations, they whizzed around through the dancing flakes like Christmas wind-up toys. "Hey, Mary!" The small, high voice belonged to Jace Griffin, Clark's 7-year-old son. He was bundled up in a red jacket, Spider-Man beanie, and gloves, his hazel eyes bright. Mary returned his wide smile. "Hiya, kiddo." Mary returned his wide smile and motioned to the box in his hand. "What have you got there?"
"A blow-up Mickey?"
The little boy's small round face had a sprinkling of freckles over an upturned nose, and she had the fanciful thought that he'd look like an adorable Christmas elf with the right clothing.
"Nice.
Where's Minnie?"
"On the porch still. You can grab her if you want."
"I'll do that."
"I got her,"
Clark said, coming up alongside them. "Morning." She took a drink of her latte. "Still finishing my wake-up juice." Clark gave her a small smile, his trademark when he was around her. Does he even have teeth? She wondered.
"I could have used an extra cup today."
Wow, more than a 3-word sentence? Clark hadn't been much for open conversation with her and usually kept his responses short and closed. "Late night?" she asked, although he didn't look tired. Lack of sleep left her with bags under her eyes, but Clark's bronzed skin was smooth, his brown eyes bright. She wished she was tanned like that, but her skin only knew 2 shades, alabaster and lobster. Thank God Idaho stayed cool nearly 10 months out of the year.
"We went trick-or-treating until almost 9, and then watched It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown."
He tilted his head to the side with a wince.
"Fell asleep on the couch at a weird angle."
"You're quite the night owl, aren't you?" Clark's lips tipped up in that half-smile, almost as though he was afraid to look too happy.
"Gotta go to bed early to get up early."
"I once crammed for a test until 4 in the morning and was up by 7 a.m. to kick its butt," she caught herself, glancing down at Jace. She already owed a couple bucks to the pint-sized mercenary's swear jar. "But you might try a hot compress on the sore side and slowly keep working at the opposite direction. It will feel so much better, trust me."
"I'll give it a try. Thanks."
"Dad, this box is getting heavy," Jace griped, adjusting his grip.
"All right, all right."
Clark shrugged good-naturedly.
"The impatience of youth."
It was on the tip of her tongue to remind Clark he wasn't old by any means, but they were already walking toward the other end of the yard. Her gaze drifted over Clark's retreating back. Time had definitely been kind to him. Gone were the skinny, stooped shoulders and straggly hair hanging down his back. His brown hair was cut above his collar, and he actually filled out the blue flannel he wore rather nicely. Ever since his return to town, the local women, even the married ones, had become overcome with lusty intentions. Mary noticed at least two or three casseroles a day, and quite a few pies that first month being delivered to Clark's front door. Each of the ladies dressed from their Sunday best to next-to-nothing cocktail chic. Word spread quickly that Clark made it abundantly clear to every woman who'd pursued him that he wasn't interested in dating. Period. Breaking the hearts of every hopeful female in Mistletoe. Up until last night, Mary related to his feelings. Dating and relationships equaled a lot of work that didn't pan out. But standing at the bar last night until last call, watching happy couples sway in tight embraces, a rush of loneliness had swept through her. The overwhelming emotion left her tempted to break her year-long abstinence with the next rando who offered to buy her a drink. But in the end, she'd gone home alone. It was the right choice, even if certain parts of her anatomy disagreed with her. But sex wasn't the core of a great relationship, which was her ultimate goal. To find someone who made her as happy as her dad made her mom. A man she'd consider her other half, the way Nick felt about Noel. Mary caught sight of her brother, setting the ladder against the house. Noel stood next to him with a lasso of Christmas lights hanging off her arm, her brown hair knotted on top of her head, except for a few stragglers hanging around her face. Nick brushed Noelle's hair back tenderly, gazing at her like she was beyond precious to him. It was nauseating, and yet, Mary winced at the stab of jealousy in her gut. Mary, her mother called. Come here, I have a job for you. Of course you do, Mary said without any real bite, but her mother still snorted. Such a smartass. Victoria Winters held up bundles of lights, visibly mangled. Can you untangle these for me? Sure. Mary took the mask from her mother and headed for the patio furniture at the end of the covered porch. Where are you going? To sit while I work on these. As wonderful as your faith in me is, I can't walk and untie these knots at the same time. Her mom huffed. Fine. I'm going to make sure your father doesn't get any ideas about climbing one of these ladders. If he falls and breaks his neck, I'll kill him. That seems a bit redundant, Mom. You know what I mean, Victoria said with a wave of her hand. Don't take all day with those. We have a lot to do, and I need your help. I know, Mary grumbled. Sometimes her mother talked to her as though she was still the precocious 11-year-old hiding in the trees to avoid her chores. Her fingers weaved and untwisted the green light strands. The task not unlike when her yarn snarled up. She looped and wrapped, watching the employees and their significant others work together. Her envy crept to the forefront again as one of the farmhands, Martin, grabbed his adorably pregnant wife around the waist and kissed her, swiping the box she was carrying as though it was too heavy for her to manage. Whatever he said to her was disregarded when she grabbed the burden back from him and waddled away, smiling at him over her shoulder. Mary yanked on the light string a little too hard, and a pink casing popped off. She got up, chasing it across the porch as she ticked off the list of available men in town in her head. It was short, and those on it didn't exactly snag her interest. Every relationship she'd ever had started with an instant shock of attraction and progressed from there. But her track record was evidence enough that her judgment was not to be trusted. Between her first boyfriend, the thief, to her most recent, the cheater, she really knew how to pick 'em. Holly had told her more than once she picked the same type of man but in a different suit. It would make more sense if she'd fall for an outdoorsy guy with a big heart like her dad. Instead, she'd spent a year with a marketing major who'd been caught plagiarizing and left school without a word. The 2 years she'd shacked up with the borderline alcoholic who'd asked her home for his brother's wedding and dumped her the minute they returned because his mother didn't see a future with her. The final catalyst was her last boyfriend, Killian Peters. He'd had her fooled for sure, convincing her to move from Washington to Colorado with him so he could work at his dad's medical practice. He'd been older, had his life together, and Mary thought she'd finally found a decent, honest guy. Until she'd caught him giving one of his nurses a gynecological exam, with his penis. She'd packed up her stuff that day and driven home, telling herself the whole way back to Idaho there would be no more uprooting her life for any man. Mary would take all the time she needed to figure out what would make her happy. After a year, Mary knew she wanted a man completely crazy about her, passionate about family, and who wouldn't lie, cheat, or steal. That wasn't asking much, right? Jace raced up the porch steps and slid to a stop in front of her as she straightened up with a light casing in her hand. Need some help, Mary? Sure, that would be great. She went back to her perch and pulled a short bundle of lights from inside, holding it out to the kid. Thanks, I appreciate it. My mother gave me a Herculean task. What's that mean? He asked, sitting down in the chair across from her. It means hard. Yeah. Jace held the lights up in front of his face, so only one eye was visible through the knotted mess. I think Miss Victoria should buy some new lights and throw these away. Mary laughed and mimicked her mother's tone. Waste not, want not, my child. Jace dropped the lights to his lap, his brow furrowed. My dad said it isn't nice to make fun of people. It was such a sullen reaction to harmless teasing that Mary fought back a grin. That's true. But sometimes kids tease their parents. Don't you ever give your dad a bad time? I don't think so. Wait until you're a teenager and get back to me. Uh-oh, Clark said, leaning over the porch railing. What about his teenage years? Mary hadn't noticed Clark approach, surprised once more at his congeniality today. I was just telling him that sometimes kids gotta tease their parents and get them to lighten up. It starts right around the time they turn 13. Didn't you razz your folks? We didn't have that kind of relationship. His curt tone startled Mary, and her mind raced for something to say. Clark gave her one of those closed-mouth smiles before she could get her bearings and added, I didn't mean that to come out so bluntly. I'm sorry, I guess I take for granted my parents will give me as much guff as I dish out. No need to apologize. One of the hands called his name and he waved. Excuse me, I'm being summoned. Clark walked away, leaving Mary perplexed. She hadn't meant to stick her foot in her mouth, especially when he'd finally given her a glimpse of the man her parents raved about. Dad doesn't like to talk about my grandparents, Jace volunteered. Oh, yeah? No, I think it makes him sad. He gets the same way when I ask about my mom. Mary didn't know much about Clark's life, and her curious nature urged her to pry, but she bit her tongue. Clark's complicated relationships weren't any of her business, and she definitely wasn't going to pump his 7-year-old for information. She noticed Jace's melancholy expression and leaned over, whispering, What do you say we get these untangled and sneak inside for a cup of hot cocoa? Jace perked up. Yes, please. Then less jabbering and more working. She started singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Jace sang along with her, the tension leaving the boy's tiny body. Mary felt eyes on her and looked up, discovering Clark kneeling in the middle of the lawn, watching them. He was hovering over a flattened blow-up, his face a mask of intensity. Why is he looking at me like that? Warmth licked along her skin until her cheeks flushed. Can we sing Jingle Bells? Jace asked. Mary turned her attention away from Clark. Absolutely. You kick us off. Jace launched into the jolly tune, and she involuntarily glanced at Clark, but he was focused on blowing up a 10-foot Santa. She couldn't get Clark's facial expression out of her mind. Had he been irritated with her for letting his son help her? Had he overheard his son and thought she was gathering dirt? It wouldn't surprise her if some of the more manipulative women in town had tried using Jace to get to Clark. But she would never. Besides, based on the rumor mill, Clark wasn't interested in getting involved with anyone, and she was done with emotionally unavailable men. Mr. Clark Griffin had nothing to worry about from her.
Chapter 2. Clark Griffin walked the rows of Douglas fir trees on his way back to the main house, his arms aching from hanging Christmas lights around the flocking tent. After the first few hours of decorating, Jace had begged to stay with Victoria, who was making cookies, and she'd been happy to take his son, despite it being a Saturday. Although, now that he thought about it, Victoria never passed up a chance to spend time with Jace, which left Clark to get his work done without worrying about what Jace was getting into. The snow left a light dusting across the tree needles, and winter's Christmas tree farm was picturesque, a Christmas card quality scene. The country setting combined with the elements of winter, his favorite season, gave Clark a sense of peace, something that had been lacking while living in California. He'd moved to the West Coast for college when he was 17, and rarely escaped to the mountains while living there the past 10 years, and the smells of the city didn't compare to the woods. Clark breathed in the scent of pine and soil, his face splitting into a wide, satisfied grin. Mistletoe really was a breath of fresh air. He could see the blow-up Mickey and Minnie deflated on the ground beneath the big red sign for the winter's farm. Although Christmas was still 8 weeks away, the weather turned fast after mid-October, and with trucks coming in before Thanksgiving to collect the pre-cut trees to fill local orders all over the region, the holidays would be over before he knew it. Since it was his first season with the farm, he'd wanted to get a jump on everything and prove he belonged here, that he was the best man to keep this farm running smoothly. Although he'd been an agricultural science major at UC Davis, he'd been most interested in plant pathology. When he'd finally finished his graduate program, he'd ended up working for Ecoleaf, a biotech company where the hours were long and migraines at the end of the day from peering through a microscope hours on end were severe. He'd worked hard to put himself through school to get a great job to take care of Jace, but he realized rather quickly that financial security didn't make up for not seeing his son.
Dad!
Clark grinned as Jace came running down the hill towards him, his gangly legs churning so fast Clark held his breath, waiting for his son to crash and burn. Clark dropped the empty tub he'd been carrying and rushed forward. He caught Jace as he launched himself into Clark's arms, swinging him high into the air before hugging him. Jace laughed against the side of Clark's neck, holding him tight, and Clark breathed him in. He still remembered standing in the hospital room the day after Jace was born, staring at the empty bed where he'd left Patrice sleeping. He'd gone back to their apartment to get the car seat and thought maybe she was in the bathroom until he opened the door and found it empty. But it wasn't until he called her cell and discovered she'd blocked him that the reality sunk in. She was gone, and Clark was on his own. Being a single dad before his 21st birthday hadn't been in his plan, but he wouldn't change it for the world. "Were you good for Victoria?" he asked, picking up the empty tub with one hand and balancing his son on his other hip.
"I'm always good. I helped her bake cookies, and I even cleaned up my mess."
"I'm proud of you." Clark carried him up the rows, realizing that soon enough Jace wouldn't let him do things like this. He was growing up so fast, and Clark planned to enjoy his kid cuddles as long as he could. "I was thinking tonight we'd do breakfast for dinner," Waffles. Jace's hazel eyes brightened. Eggs? Maybe some fresh-cut strawberries? What do you think?
Yes! I love breakfast for dinner.
Me too. Suddenly, Jace pushed against his shoulder.
I want to get you a cookie to try. They're really good.
Clark set him down. You know I don't like cookies, buddy.
I promise you'll like these.
Jace took off at a run for the main house, with Clark trailing behind, smiling contentedly. Their first 5 years together were rife with struggle, but he'd been determined to finish school. He'd found services and grants, pushing himself through his last year and a half while working nights and weekends. He'd taken all of his earnings, and what didn't go to supplement daycare, food, and housing, he invested. Clark studied the stock market, IRAs, any way to make his money go further so they would never have to struggle again. Clark caught up to Jace as he took monster steps up the stairs, clearing them in seconds. Remember to knock. Don't just barge. Jace pushed inside the front door, and Clark finished with a groan. In. Clark climbed the front porch steps and set the empty tub to the left of the door with the other empty red and green containers they would be putting back into the shed tomorrow. He followed after his son, knocking politely against the open red front door, waiting for Victoria Winters to acknowledge him. She stood in the kitchen smiling at Jace, who was hugging the Winters' big bloodhound, Butch, and waved her hand at Clark to come in further. Her blonde hair was clipped back from her face, falling just past the hood of her red button-up sweater. She pointed apologetically to the phone pressed against her ear, and he shut the door behind him with a shake of his head to silently convey it was no problem.
Yes, I understand that. It really is hard, especially when these things happen unexpectedly. I'm sure she'd be happy to help out. Do you have a pen?
Victoria rattled off a phone number and nodded her head as she spoke.
Absolutely. You take care, Dana. Bye.
She set her phone down on the counter with a tired smile.
Hello, Clark.
Hi. Everything okay?
Oh, yes. Dana Kirk isn't able to do the Festival of Trees this year, and she tried to get me to take over. But I can't right now with everything going on here. I told her to ask Mary.
Mary. The Winters' middle daughter. Funny, kind, and helpful. At least that's what people said about her. Besides a few brief interactions when he worked on the farm his senior year, they hadn't spent much time together before he left for college. There was one day when he'd thought there was more to her than the bubbly, popular girl, and he'd worked up the courage to ask her out. But that brief infatuation had been squashed under her boyfriend's pickup tires as he'd peeled out of the driveway with Mary in the passenger seat. When he came back to town, Mary hadn't been rude to him, but there was a definite aloofness. She'd never come out to Clark's face and said anything. But a few weeks after he moved in, he'd been coming around the side of the house, and Mary and her sister had been on the porch. He'd pulled up short when he heard his name.
Why do you care if he's here?
He'd recognized Holly's voice, which was slightly higher than Mary's husky one.
Because I feel like Dad doesn't trust me to run the farm. Why else would he hire a new foreman? Maybe he's playing matchmaker. Hot foreman who knows his stuff, paired with his eager daughter. Okay, no. That sounds like the start of a bad porno. Besides, Dad would never. Mom might. But they both know how I feel about dating right now. It's just, why him?
Why him, indeed. He'd been in a lab since graduating college. Even though he preferred the outdoors, he might have the education, but he didn't have the hands-on knowledge, which is why this first season was so important. Clark needed to prove the Winters chose the right man, and keeping Mary at a distance ensured she wouldn't witness him make a mistake and give her ammunition to go to her dad. The way the people of Mistletoe talked, he half expected Mary to walk on water. But humans were flawed and could do some crappy things to each other, especially when they wanted something. Despite his reservations, His son adored her and was always finding a reason to run next door to see her. Working with a mostly male crew who gossiped worse than prep school girls on TV, he'd learned Mary moved home a year ago after a bad breakup, and despite multiple offers, she'd turned every one of them down. Didn't stop the guys from talking about how beautiful she was, and he couldn't disagree. Watching the two of them this morning laugh and sing while they worked on the snarled Christmas lights created a dull ache in his chest, bringing attention to the hole in their lives he tried desperately to ignore. People to love. Family. This year had been the hardest one so far, with Jace asking a lot more questions about his mom and his grandparents, and the answers, well, they weren't something Clark thought his 7-year-old needed to hear.
"My daughter may not appreciate me volunteering her," Victoria continued, "but I really can't do everything, no matter how badly I want to."
Clark chuckled. "Sometimes you gotta delegate."
"Yes, and to be quite honest, I like to enjoy the festival, not deal with the details that go along with it."
Butch broke free of Jace's affections to greet Clark, leaning his whole body against him. "Hey, big guy," Clark whispered, patting the dog's side before responding to Victoria. "I'm looking forward to checking out the festival as an adult. We didn't really attend it when I was a kid. I was going to go with the other farm employees as a teen, but I think I got sick the day of."
"Hopefully you stay healthy this time. It is such a great event that helps out so many people and programs. You and Jace will enjoy it. Maybe they'll have a superhero tree."
Jace went into the kitchen and wrapped around Victoria's thighs.
"You think?"
Instead of getting irritated or shooing him away, she chuckled, brushing his sandy hair back off his forehead.
"Maybe that new gamer shop will do one. That would be cool. Can my dad have a cookie?" "Of course he can. Do you want another one too?"
Jace nodded. A lump clogged Clark's throat. Victoria treated Jace like a grandson, and they'd only been there a few months. Clark's parents cared enough to send Jace a birthday card, and that was it. He'd made the effort, hoping their initial disapproval of Clark's life decisions would fade as they spent time with their grandchild. But that hadn't happened. He'd blown up at them a few days into the last trip after his father berated Jace for spilling his juice on the floor. Clark packed up their stuff and booked a hotel, dipping into the savings so they could spend one day at the Magic Kingdom. Clark sent a Christmas card once a year with a picture of Jace inside, but nothing more. It took him too many years to realize they would never be the kind of parents he wanted, and it was useless to be angry with them for it. They weren't going to change. The only family member he cared for besides Jace was his brother Sam. Sam was 8 years older than Clark and had practically raised him until he'd moved to Oregon a few years after he'd graduated high school. Sam put his artistic talents to use as a tattoo artist, and the first time he'd come home for a visit on a motorcycle with full tattoo sleeves and a tongue ring, Clark thought they were going to have a stroke. Appearances were everything, and they'd had no problem telling Sam to get lost. Clark remembered chasing his brother out the door, begging him to take Clark with him, but his mother screeched at him to get inside. Sam hugged him hard, told him he'd call, and headed out of town the way he came. The next 7 years passed at a snail's pace, with secret visits from Sam, and his year at the Winters farm bringing brief stints of happiness in the solitude. Clark only had a few acquaintances, but they never spent time outside school. His shelves of books were his only escape, and he consumed nearly 6 a week. It worked out well for his parents and for him. They'd never been involved unless either boy did something that could make them look bad. Sam and Clark didn't exist unless they needed to parade them around as a perfect little family. The day he left for college, he'd packed up his Subaru with everything he treasured and didn't look back. Didn't visit. Called for major holidays, but they were usually too busy for more than a brief exchange. Watching the loving way Victoria and Chris Winters were with Jace brought the futile anger to the surface all over again at the people who raised him. He hadn't expected Chris and Victoria Winters to treat them like family when Clark took the foreman position at the Winters farm. Victoria had even offered to grab Jace from school and watch him so he didn't have to hang at the after-school program. Clark didn't want to think he was taking advantage of her, but she'd insisted. Now Jace didn't think twice about bursting into the main house, treating it like a second home. Victoria picked up the head of the cow cookie jar and reached in to grab Jace a cookie, leaving the body of the black and white cow wearing a red and blue striped scarf decapitated. "That poor cow loses his head anytime someone has a sweet tooth," Clark joked.
"Oh!"
Victoria squatted down, laughter bubbling out.
"I never thought about how morbid it looked. My mother got it for me years ago during my cow phase, and I rotated in when the weather turns cold and put the cow in the bathing suit anyway. Now that I think about it, that one does the same thing. You want one?"
Clark chuckled. "No, thank you." She replaced the top of the cookie jar with a sigh.
"I wish you would. Otherwise, I find myself eating too many of them. But, Dad, I want you to try one. Would you like a container of cookies for your place so your dad can try them later?"
Victoria asked. Jace nodded his head enthusiastically, and Clark gave in. "Thanks, that would be great." Victoria pulled out a clear container and filled it nearly to the brim with chocolate chip cookies before snapping the red lid in place and handed it to him.
"This will get you home so you can put them in your cookie jar."
"We don't have a cookie jar. We always buy the prepackaged cookies because we don't make fresh ones."
"Well, you're going to need one if Jace becomes the master baker he's aspiring to be,"
Victoria said with a wink. Butch, who had been politely sitting next to Jace, watching him take bite after bite of his cookie, finally whined and lifted one massive paw into the air, his long, droopy ears swaying with emotion.
"You can't have these kinds of cookies, Butch."
Victoria pointed to a jar in the corner in the shape of a hound wearing a Santa hat.
"Jace, will you get Butch a cookie?"
Jace shoved the remainder of his cookie into his mouth with a nod and hopped like a frog across the floor, making Victoria laugh. Then he stood on his tiptoes and set the lid on the counter. Butch turned his attention to Jace, trotting next to him, his tail whipping through the air furiously. Jace pulled out a milk bone and held it up above the dog's nose, which was a struggle since Jace wasn't much taller than Butch.
"Sit, Butch."
The dog flopped his butt on the floor, his tail thumping against the tile. The dog took the biscuit gently from Jace and laid down, enjoying his treat.
"Tell him he's a good boy."
"I should get Jace home and start dinner. Thanks for letting him hang with you."
"Anytime. He was such a big help this morning decorating, and he did most of the work on the cookies. I sat back in a chair with my feet up, barking orders." "No, you didn't. We worked together."
Victoria hugged him hard.
"You are sweet to give credit when it's due."
She let him go and patted Clark on the arm.
"You know, you two are always welcome to come eat up here with us. I still cook like my kids are at home, instead of grown and living on their own."
"I appreciate that." Clark cleared his throat when his son tried to sneak a second cookie. "Jace," his son froze at the deep, warning tone. "Come on." Jace slunk back toward him, obviously disgruntled. But Victoria called out to him, halting his pouting.
"Jace, do you think you can convince your dad to come up here for dinner next Saturday? We want to thank him for the great job he's doing."
Clark didn't have time to react before Jace whooped.
"I can do that. And if you two don't have any plans for Thanksgiving, you get your tushes up here. I've got a lot to be thankful for this year. My family is healthy, our farm is thriving, and you came back into our lives, bringing my favorite kid with you."
Jace beamed. "We'll be there," Clark said, taking the cookies from Jace. Thank you again, Victoria. Jace tugged on his arm.
Dad, I'm hungry.
All right, we'll go home and eat.
It's no problem at all. See you tomorrow, Jace. Bye.
Jace grabbed his free hand, dragging him out the door and down the steps. When Clark didn't match his speed, Jace raced ahead around the corner of the house and out of sight for a moment. Back in California, Clark would have never let go of Jace's hand. But being among the evergreen trees created a bubble of tranquility he hadn't experienced in the years he'd been away. Clark followed a ways behind Jace as he burst through the doors of their home and ran straight to his bedroom, bouncing with every leap. Clark peeled off his gloves with a chuckle, slipping them into the pocket of his jacket. The cozy three-bedroom cottage had a small kitchen and dining room that opened into a comfortable furnished living room. Down the hall was a Jack and Jill bathroom between two of the bedrooms, and at the far end was the master. It was more spacious than the one-bedroom apartment they'd lived in, and you couldn't beat the yard outside. Clark hung up his coat and blew out a breath. The temperature in the house was colder than it was outside. The stove in the corner helped with keeping the house warm, so they didn't have to run the heater all the time. And Clark had spent the summer gathering firewood to keep them stocked until the spring. Jace came running back into the living room, dancing behind him as Clark started a fire.
Dad?
One second, buddy. It's cold in here.
Dad, it's almost Christmas.
Clark put the guard back in front of the mouth of the fireplace and stood up, facing his son with a smile. I seem to remember that. Vaguely.
I know what I want.
What's that?
A puppy.
Clark groaned. Jace, I don't think Mr. and Mrs. Winters are going to want a puppy in here. Jace's face fell.
Why? They have a dog.
Yes, but it's their house. And so is this. We are just living in it while I work for them. Jace's lip quivered.
Oh.
Clark sighed, pulling his son into his arms. Just give me a little time to find us a house, and we'll get a dog.
Any kind?
Clark squeezed him tight before dropping him back onto his feet. We'll see. You want to help me make dinner?
Yep.
Jace raced into the kitchen and pulled his Avengers apron off the peg.
Matey Jace, reporting for duty, Captain.
Clark tied his own apron around his waist with a ferocious scowl. All right, ye scallywag. Get me eggs, pancake mix, and bacon. Off with ye, or ye'll be walking me plank, says I.
Aye, aye, sir.
While Jace ran to the fridge, Clark pulled out their waffle maker, baking sheets, tinfoil, and a large frying pan. He'd never learned to cook as a kid. His mother would pitch a fit if they disturbed her kitchen. It wasn't until Patrice was pregnant with Jace that Clark taught himself how to make healthy meals for his pregnant girlfriend. Clark grimaced, remembering the longest 9 months of his life. He'd been 20, about to finish his junior year in college, when he'd met Patrice at a party. She'd been confident, wild, and kissed him without even asking his name. She was unlike anyone Clark had ever met, and he'd been addicted to her. Her body, her spirit. He'd fallen down a hole for over a month of partying and screwing every night, until the stick turned pink. They'd both been scared to death, discussing their options, agreeing to have the baby and raise it together, only to have her fly off the handle days later about leaving. Clark tiptoed around Patrice's ever-changing moods for the entire pregnancy, doing his best to keep her happy. One day, she'd be dragging him through the baby section of the store, pointing out all the things she wanted. The next, he'd come home from work to find her on the bathroom floor crying in a fetal position. Patrice, what's wrong?
It's a boy.
Clark lit up. That's great. I wish I could have been there. And I know you wanted a girl, but...
No! I made a mistake. I can't have a baby.
He'd never felt so helpless and confused in his life.
It's too late for anything else.
Then I'll give it away. I cannot have a boy.
Clark froze, a cold sweat breaking out all over his skin. No. Patrice sat up, glaring at him.
Excuse me?
If you don't want him, that's fine. But that is my son, too. And I'm not giving him up without a fight. After screaming at him for over an hour, she'd finally broken down and let him hold her, crying in his arms until she'd fallen into a fitful sleep. The next few months rolled by calmer, and Clark thought Patrice was happy, that they were finally connecting. And then she disappeared.
What about the strawberries?
He cleared his throat, trying to dislodge the lump his memories created. Sorry, I forgot. Jace frowned at him.
Captains don't forget things.
Arg. Are ye challenging me, matey? Maybe you'd like the bite of me steel.
Clark waved his black plastic spatula at Jace, and his son giggled. Grabbing a wooden spoon from the utensil drawer, he waved it at his dad.
Avast!
They clashed the utensils against each other, dancing around the small kitchen. When the oven went off with the preheated alarm, he let Jace stab him right in the gut.
Arg, a fatal blow, to be sure. Ye are the new captain, 'twould seem.
Jace dropped his spoon with a shake of his head.
No thanks. Too much responsibility.
Clark ruffled his hair. Smart kid. All right. I'll put the bacon on while you crack 3 eggs into a mixing bowl. The two of them worked with a rhythm born of many home-cooked meals together. Jace had been helping his dad out in the kitchen since he was 3, as they'd cooked instead of getting takeout to save money. Clark preferred living simply and buying everything in cash. No loans. Teaching Jace that want and need were two different things. But his son never lacked for the one thing Clark missed growing up. Love and affection. He was a damn good father, and they were doing fine on their own. Which was just one of the many reasons he didn't date. Even if he found someone he was interested in for more than a few hours, the idea of bringing someone else into their lives that could potentially screw with their well-oiled machine sounded like more trouble than it was worth. Since the day Jace was born, he'd always put what was best for Jace first and foremost. Maybe that was extreme. But growing up with parents who used him and his brother like props, he swore he'd do better with his own child. After dinner, they followed the same routine as every night. Bath, pajamas, setting out their clothes for the next day. So far, Clark had been only working weekdays, until today. From now until Christmas, it would be 6, sometimes 7 days a week. Luckily, Chris and Jace tagging along with Clark's rounds wouldn't be an issue, and Jace loved exploring the farm with Clark. They watched a half-hour show together every night before bed, and tonight Jace picked a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. They watched it every year, but Jace seemed a bit disenchanted with the cartoon this time.
I don't understand why they always have Charlie kick the football and hurt himself.
The writers thought it would be funny, I guess. Clark said. Jace scowled at the flat screen.
I think it's mean.
Yeah, it is.
Lucy is the worst.
Clark chuckled. It's a cartoon, buddy. It's not real life.
Girls at school chase me. I don't like it.
Tell them to stop, or don't run.
But when they catch me, they try to kiss me.
Jace wrinkled his nose and covered the lower half of his face, muffling his voice.
I put my hands over my face like this and tell them to stop, but they keep coming.
You should tell the duty aide then. She'll make them stop.
I don't want to be a tattletale.
Well, looks like you're stuck then, buddy. I'm out of options. Jace released a sigh.
Girls are so gross.
Someday you'll change your mind about girls.
You don't like them.
What? I like girls.
You do?
Jace cocked his head, studying him.
Do they like you?
Sometimes. Why would you think I don't like girls?
Because I never see girls chasing you.
Solid logic for a 7-year-old. Adult women don't chase men. At least not in that way.
What way, then?
Clark rubbed the back of his neck, searching for an explanation. Adults go out to dinners and movies. We date.
So why don't you date?
I guess I haven't found someone I want to spend my time with. Jace turned to stare at him with brows knitted together with a deep frown.
I think you should try. I know you get sad sometimes. Maybe finding someone nice will make you happy.
First rule to happiness, buddy, is you gotta find it in yourself before you can be with anyone else.
Why wouldn't you be happy with yourself? You're awesome, Dad.
Clark hugged Jace tight. Thanks. I think you're awesome, too.
I know,
Jace said, leaning against Clark's side.
I think it would be nice to have other people, is all. It's always just us.
We've got Uncle Sam.
But he isn't here, and...
And what?
He doesn't smell good.
Clark would have laughed if the words didn't sting. What about me? Do I stink?
No, it's just... Never mind.
Jace didn't say anything more, but the conversation lingered, echoing in Clark's head. Jace wanted Clark to be with someone nice, but there weren't a lot of nice women who caught Clark's interest. Independent women who didn't need him were the only women he'd ever known romantically and sexually, starting with Patrice. He wouldn't even know what to do with a sweet girl. She'd probably run screaming at his brutal honesty. Still, if Jace wanted someone in their life, he could at least consider the possibilities. Clark pulled out his phone just as Snoopy donned his pilgrim costume. Clark scrolled through the App Store, his thumb hovering over the pink square with the 2-letter M's entwined. The Meet Me app commercials had popped up a few times while watching videos on YouTube. And while he usually skipped past them, he watched long enough for it to stick in his mind. Maybe that was a sign he wasn't as closed off to finding someone as he thought. His conversation with Jace brought to light some hard truths. Clark's life consisted of work, Jace, eat, and sleep. He'd never gone out bar hopping with friends like other guys his age, and hookups only occurred when he could find a trusted babysitter for a few hours, always at her place or a hotel. He never stayed long, but the women he chose knew the score. Clark stared at the screen, tapping on the box titled, Username. Woodsman 27. Even if he wasn't a single dad, he'd want a little anonymity, especially considering his past experiences. He typed up a short bio and uploaded a picture of one of his woodworking projects. Before he could second-guess himself, he clicked all of the boxes below the section titled, What Are You Looking For? And hit Submit, including FWB. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad to find a friends with benefits situation at least. Someone who wasn't looking for forever, or didn't want to complicate his life, but could stave off the sadness his son sensed. And if it grew from there?
Dad, you're not watching!
Clark practically dropped his phone, every cell in his body screaming to take it back. Sorry, buddy.
You always say no devices during our time.
You're right. Won't happen again. They continued watching the show, but Clark's heart didn't slow as his phone dinged once, then twice, and a third time as he carried his sleeping son to bed 10 minutes later. When he came back to it, the app had found 3 matches in the area, all looking for FWB to dating. He clicked on the first match and immediately scrolled past her profile. Clark wanted someone that was at least old enough to legally get a drink. The next woman's profile pic was a set of handcuffs and a crop. Not my bag, but good luck to you. The third had a profile picture with a ball of yarn and 2 knitting needles. Her screen name was Naughty Girl 25. Clark smirked at the K-N-O-T spelling in the name.
Clark clicked her profile and scanned her bio.
Hi. I'm not sure what I'm doing here, but I thought I'd give this a shot. I'm 25. I work a lot. I love crafting, sleeping in on my days off. Not a morning person. And my favorite drink is a Malibu sunrise. The song I play on repeat is Adore You by Harry Styles. The movie that lives rent-free in my heart is Notting Hill. I want to find someone who doesn't lie, cheat, and shows basic human decency. Oh, and must love all things Christmas.
The corner of his lips tugged at the last line. Although they had sent out the perfect family Christmas card, his parents hadn't bothered with Christmas trees or presents, unless they had friends visiting. Clark dreaded the day after winter break ended, when they were in school, and the other kids would talk about all the fun they had. When they'd asked him about the holiday, he'd snapped at them. It hadn't exactly endeared him to his classmates. The one bright spot about Christmas time in elementary school was his teachers. Every year on the last day before the holiday break, his teacher would have a brightly wrapped gift on their desks. Although some kids groaned about getting a book for Christmas, he treasured every single one of the books he'd received from kindergarten to fifth grade. It wasn't until his senior year of high school, when he'd attended the winter's employee Christmas party, that he'd had a real holiday celebration. The year after, he'd sent a gift to his brother Sam, and to his surprise, had received one in return. Sam invited him to stay the holidays with him the next year, and they'd gone all out with laced eggnog, decorations, and a huge Christmas dinner they'd bought from the local grocery store. The next Christmas with Patrice, Clark went out and bought matching stockings for them, and planned to embroider them with Daddy, Mommy, and whatever name they decided on. After she left, he'd had the third stocking monogrammed with his brother's name, and hung them every year. Although some Christmases had been leaner than others, Clark adored the holiday and wanted to make sure Jace experienced all the magic the season had to offer. He read the profile one more time before Clark tapped the message button with his thumb. Hey, naughty girl 25.
Chapter 3. Mary stood in line at Kiss My Donut Monday afternoon, staring at her phone screen as she waited for her turn to order. The message on Meet Me had come out of nowhere, because she'd forgotten she'd even signed up. She'd downloaded it on Valentine's Day, after too many Malibu sunrises and a second box of Dove chocolates, longing for any kind of attention. Of course, she'd regretted her decision the next morning when she'd woken up to 50 messages from men and women, all searching for something different. Somewhere between, can I see your feet, to, are you into couples? She realized her mistake and deleted the app. If she hadn't been in her spam folder looking for something else, she never would have seen the notification email. Hey, naughty girl 25. This is my first attempt at online dating, and you popped up as one of my matches. I am also a fan of Christmas, which brings me to my conversation starter. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Woodsman 27. Mary clicked on his profile picture, smiling at the image of a wooden snowman. She read his profile, which was pretty simplistic. 27. Interested in woodworking, outdoor sports, and reading. Not an exact match of interests, but at least he hadn't started the correspondence with, how big are your boobs? The person in front of her finished ordering, and Mary requested a large iced white mocha with sweet cream. Once she finished paying, she sank into a seat at a table by the window. Mondays were always a little chaotic at Mistletoe Elementary, especially after a holiday based on candy and costumes. Kids were dropping by the front office all day to tell her about their costumes and how much candy they hauled home from trick-or-treating. She loved the excitement on their faces, but she was ready to be home, soaking in her bathtub with a glass of peach sangria instead of meeting Dana Kirk. Her first instinct had been to call back when she'd gotten Dana's voicemail and decline. Between two jobs and all of the holiday events coming up, she didn't want to be in charge of the Festival of Trees, one of the biggest charity fundraisers of the season. But when Dana explained she needed to fly out to California because her youngest daughter was on bed rest due to a high-risk pregnancy, Mary couldn't bring herself to say no. She told Dana she was happy to help, but silently acknowledged it was a massive undertaking with only a little over a month to organize. Dana had been running the event for 20 years, and Mary didn't want to be her chosen successor when she decided to step down from it. Being the organizer meant when things went wrong, she would be the one to blame, and she hated confrontation. Mary looked at the time on her phone screen, her lips compressing. Come on, Dana. Tardiness was her pet peeve, and she was early to everything. At least while she was waiting, she could give Woodsman 27 an answer. She liked that he'd actually read her profile and reached out about her interests instead of being worried about what she looked like. She tapped the Meet Me app and clicked the icon to reply. Hello, Woodsman 27. I honestly forgot all about this app until I saw an email in my spam yesterday and checked out your message. To answer your question, I love Elf. Baby, It's Cold Outside is one of my favorite Christmas songs, and Zoe's rendition brings on the goosebumps. What is yours? P.S. I like your snowman. Did you make it? She'd noticed he'd checked all the boxes, including friends with benefits, and if that was his main goal, he was barking up the wrong tree. Still, approaching her like a human being instead of an object to screw scored him the courtesy of a reply at the very least. Besides, maybe her parents would like some of those wooden snowmen for the farm. The door opened, and Dana came through, waving her black hair cut in an A-line, framing her round face. Mary hit send and set her phone down so she could wave back. Dana sat down across from her, dropping a red binder on the table and setting her purse on the floor with a whoosh. The binder was bedazzled with a rhinestone Christmas tree and glittery puffy paint that scrawled across the plastic, legibly spelling out the Festival of Trees. I am so sorry I was late. Between packing and scheduling flights, then talking to my son-in-law for updates, I lost track of time. Thank you for doing this. I know you're probably plenty busy without me adding to it, but I have to go. Absolutely, Dana. Your daughter and grandbaby need you. They really do. I hate being so far away, especially having her first child. But they needed to move for her husband's work. I'm half tempted to move closer to them. But I hate California. It's expensive and hot and... Dana cut herself off with a wave of her hand. You didn't come here to listen to me gripe. Mary chuckled. You're fine, Dana. I've got plenty of time. I'm going to pop in to see my sister after this, and then I'm going home. Tell me what I need to know. Dana patted the top of the red binder. This is my Festival of Trees Bible. Everything you need is in here, including order forms for businesses to fill out to reserve their trees. Your father guarantees us 50. But you'll have to talk to him about how many you will actually need. Usually, it isn't even that. People would rather donate a raffle basket or gift card instead of a tree. Less time-consuming, I guess. That's ridiculous. It's the holiday season and this town needs to step up. I'm going to make it my goal to get a tree from every business in Mistletoe. Ha! Good luck with that. There is no way you're getting the Gallaghers to buy and decorate a tree. I think Declan is ornerier than his father, and I've wanted to knock Liam upside the head a time or two. Mary smirked as she flipped open the binder, studying each page. They aren't the nicest men, but I am a firm believer that enough Christmas cheer can melt even the iciest of hearts. She stopped on the schedule page, her eyebrows shooting up at the lengthy list. I love how detail-oriented you are. It's taken me 20 years to get to this point, and a whole lot of frustration. But this is my baby. It feels strange passing it off to someone else to organize, but I trust you. I've done my best to make it easy for you and hope there won't be any hiccups. Dana's sweet tone dripped like sugar-free maple syrup. and Mary resisted the urge to audibly gulp at the pressure. I'll do my best to make you proud.
I know you will, and you can message me if you have any questions. I'll be available unless I'm sleeping or holding a baby.
I will.
That's it, I suppose.
Dana hopped back up out of the chair.
I have an early flight in Boise, so I need to get back home and finish packing.
Thank you, Mary. This event is very important to the town, and I feel better knowing it is in such good hands. Safe travels, Dana. She gave her a wiggle of her fingers and ducked out the door eagerly. A little too eagerly. Mary picked up her coffee in one hand and continued to flip through the pages, studying the color-coded schedule. Tree orders were due to her family farm in 2 weeks. Vendor booth deposits needed to be paid in full by the end of November. Paper snowflake garland collected from the elementary school the week before the festival. The list went on and on, all the while working, helping her parents, and trying to have a life of her own. Mary pursed her lips, her breath rushing out in a raspberry of resignation.
I need to stop being a pessimist. As a Christmas lover, this event is my jam, and I got this.
After throwing her purse over her shoulder, Mary gathered her coffee cup and the binder, giving herself a pep talk as she pushed out of Kiss My Donut. She'd been volunteering all year wherever she was needed for town events, and although this is the first time she'd